It's 343 New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Let's talk to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World. He joins us now on the program. Matt, how many tweets or messages were you getting on Saturday after that football game, people asking you when basketball season starts?
Yeah, there's a lot. And you know, I didn't help anything. I probably could have stayed off of there and just gone and mowed the lawn or something like that. But I didn't. And I felt like having conversations, 140 characters at a time. And you know, I feel like that's my service to the community.
That's right.
People are, it's like they're on the couch and they kick their feet up and they're in you know, absolute pain and peril. And it's my job to help them, you know, walk out of there with deep breaths and just, you know, a little calmer than they entered. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
How often do you get into those conversations on Twitter and then afterwards, or like even during it, you're like, what am I doing? Why am I talking to this guy with 23 followers and arguing about
the D-line for KU? That always gets me. I've started looking at people's accounts to find out how many followers. Like if somebody calls me out or says something that I'm annoyed by or is just flat out dumb, I'll go look at their, you know, their profile first. And if it's like 111 followers, I'm like, well, no one saw that then, so I'm not gonna waste my time.
Big time,
but yeah, if there's a lot and they spread that nonsense to, you know, 2,500 people or something, then I got to put the gloves on and defend myself.
There you go.
It really, you know, I really don't get that annoyed by it, even when they are kind of foolish or acting like idiots. It really doesn't bother me because you know what you're getting into. The minute you jump into the Twitter world, you know what you're getting into. And so if you let them pull you down, and it's as much your fault as it is theirs. So
I did it all day Saturday, all night. I was at the bar on Saturday night. It's like closing time, and I'm still going at it with some dude about KU's defense.
I would almost be willing to guarantee that I've been in it with that guy and that others have been in it with that guy. They tend to make the rounds, you know, and all they want is someone to listen and someone to you know, indulge them. And that was your turn and you came through, man.
Yep.
So good for you. I'm sure it helped your game out there at the bar. Just the nerd over there on his phone all night, just tweeting.
Well, no, it makes you look busy. You're like, man, that guy's really busy
deal over there.
Yeah, exactly. Wonder what he's doing over there on his phone, just hiring and firing with the push of a button. I was arguing.
That guy's trading stocks. Look at him.
People are losing their jobs right now because of what this dude's doing on his iPhone. You know, I was arguing with people. Because I went on a little tangent after the game, like, because I saw the people throwing the flag or throwing the towel in and saying, you know, putting up the white flag, this is over, it's not going to work, let's start over, like, Beatty's not getting the job done. And I just thought it was so laughable to me, understanding where this program was, you know, 2 years and three games ago. And I understand that people are disappointed with the results over the last 2 weeks, but it doesn't change the fact that this team is actually making progress. And if you just want to view it through wins and losses, then I think you have a very simple view of college football. That's kind of what I was saying. And I do believe it, man. I think that this team, this program is making progress. I don't think anybody ever expected it to be a three-year job, which is why I just find it absurd to try and say that it's over 2 years and three games into this.
Well, yeah, and I mean, let's look at the facts. Like, we know one thing for sure when it comes to Kansas football, and that's that hiring and firing coaches, or I guess firing coaches after 2+ years, you know, two and some change, before they can even get to year four anyway, that we know doesn't work. Right?
Right.
So if you hired Charlie Weiss, who was a big splash, and you paid him $2.5 million, or you hired Turner Gill, who was an up-and-comer, and you paid him $2 million, or you hired David Beatty, who was, you know, kind of a lesser-known name, and you got him on the cheap at $800,000, you've kind of run the gamut of everything there. You've gone big splash, high profile, high contract. You've gone low-paid assistant that you promoted because you believe in him. You've gone black. You've gone white. You've gone fat. You've gone skinny. I mean, you've gone all over the map for this whole thing over these last few hires. And you know that getting rid of those guys after two or two and a half or whatever it is, that doesn't work. You know, that is a fact that we know today. So I don't blame anyone for being frustrated. I don't blame anyone for being embarrassed. I don't blame anyone for being pissed off. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been bad. And if you're willing to accept what you've seen the last 2 weeks, then this, there's no shot for anybody here. You know, this, it's good news that the fan base is not accepting that. But the only thing left, in my opinion, that you haven't tried is to give a guy his fourth year and see where that goes. And I don't know that anybody's talking about firing Beatty, really. I know no one at KU is, but you know, I don't know if fans really think that's the answer or not, but I do think some do. I do think a lot of them are ready to move on, and obviously they're ready to move on from Zenger as well. And you know, I think it's easy to take that approach. It's easy to say that. It's easy for that to be your answer when you're in the moment. But if people could just take a deep breath, go to the bar with their phone and get on Twitter and hang out, they would be able to realize that you know, this is just part of the process, and you know, let's let it ride. Let's see what happens. Because if you fire this guy right now, and you start over again next year, you're no better off for the next 2 or 3 years anyway. And you know, because the rebuilding doesn't happen overnight. We've seen that. Everybody knows that. You know, it's always been viewed as a 5-year thing. And just because the expectations and the demands and the immediate 24/7 world that we live in, and you know, automatic response world is so prevalent now, that doesn't change the process. That doesn't change the fact that it still takes a good number of years to really build something back up. So, I think that a lot of people get that, but I obviously think that a lot of people don't. I think at this point you throw your hands up and you say, well, we haven't tried that, so what the hell do we have to lose?
It just seems like there's a lot of impatience, at least with the people I've interacted with. And, you know, the people who are clamoring on social media generally are part of the minority, even though sometimes, because they're the loudest, we like to think that they speak for all. But it's not the way it works. But there seems to be a ton of impatience. And a wise man once said that administrators and GMs and owners, they don't fire coaches. Fans fire coaches. Those are the ones who actually get stuff done. And I just really hope that this fan base will learn to be more patient and understand that if you really want something to happen here at KU, based off what Beatty inherited, you shouldn't expect it to be great in year three. And if you think it's a 5-year plan, if you think it's a 10-year plan, and this program is where you want it to be in 5 years or in 10 years, you're not going to look back at year three and complain that they were behind schedule.
Great point. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's an important thing. I mean, even just take it to this season alone. Right now, there's not a lot of reason to believe they're going to win another game. You know, they just got kind of manhandled by a couple of middle-of-the-road MAC teams. So it doesn't look good. But does that mean it can't happen? No, it doesn't. Does that mean, I mean, did anyone think they'd beat Texas last year, you know, midway through the season? No one did. Now, it helped that Texas was the worst version of Texas that it's been in 75 years, but that doesn't matter. It's still who you play, and that's all you can do is beat the teams or at least compete with the teams that your schedule brings you. And so, good for them. You know, they got a win when nobody expected that. So, I don't think anybody would bet $5 on them winning a Big 12 game, but they could definitely do it. You know, they're going to keep working. They're going to keep getting better. The other teams are too, you know, so that makes it harder. But this is a work in progress. And if, you know, getting back to your point, if let's say, I mean, Baylor's struggling. There's no question about that. Let's say that's a team KU can get. Let's say this is the year that they finally beat Iowa State, even though everybody chalks it up every year, even though they never beat them. But let's say that's another team they can get. All of a sudden, at the end of this year, if you look back and they're 3-9, and they were 2-10 a year ago, and they were 0-12 the year before, well, that looks like progress, 0-2-3, particularly when it's framed in the idea of this year they got two Big 12 wins, and last year they got one, and the year before they had none, you know. So even just within this single season, you still have so much football and so much time ahead that you might as well just hang in there and see what happens. Does that mean you need to show up and commit 4 hours of your day on Saturdays to watch a product that you're not entertained by or that you don't believe in? No, that definitely doesn't mean that. If you'd rather rake leaves or go to some fall festival or you know, do family pictures or whatever it is, that's totally your prerogative. And I would never, you know, dog anyone for deciding that it's not worth their time, at least as of right now. But at the same time, you don't have to be part of the voice that you know, kind of keeps asking for this insanity approach of just getting rid of guys because you're tired of it. You know, it's worth sticking it out. It's worth seeing what happens, because as that Texas win showed last year, you never know what can happen.
He's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm hearing that Svi Mykhailiuk lost some weight over the summer.
He lost a lot.
Well, he's listed at 205 last year, at 6'8". I heard 20 pounds. So you, I mean,
yeah,
so you saw him yesterday.
I looked that up too. We saw him yesterday, interviewed him yesterday in person. And it was the first thing I saw when he came walking down the hall. He looks leaner. He looks, I don't know. There's just a different build that he's carrying right now. And obviously losing 20 pounds to do that. But it's not that he just, I think it was more of how it's distributed. I think, you know, there's some muscle there where there might've been some fat elsewhere. And so, it's a different look, even though the weight might be the same. But he said he was 227 at the end of the season, which makes sense. There's a heavy grind that goes on during the season, and you know, you're not able to hit the weight room the same, especially on a team that lacked depth like that team did. And you know, your eating habits are different in season a little bit, even though they try to control all of that. There's a lot that goes into, you know, keeping you from being in that sort of perfect vacuum of exactly training the way you want to train. So it sounded to me anyway that maybe that's what accounted for him getting a little heavy. And then, you know, probably on, you know, we're probably talking mid to late April, he was probably a little bit depressed. You know, they lost in the Elite Eight again. And when you're bummed out like that, you don't feel like getting after it, especially when the season's, 5-6 months away. So that could have been part of it. He could have taken 2 weeks where he was just kind of like, yeah, screw it. I'm going to just take it off and be bummed and eat ice cream or whatever, you know. So I gathered from him that it was probably closer to late April where he was about 227. And then he got back in and he said, okay, here we go. I'm going to get back after it. And since then, he's dropped 20 pounds, and he looks great. I mean, that's a long story. I'm sorry for that, but he looks great. He looks lean. He looks healthy. He looks fast. He looks athletic. He looked that way in Italy. I noticed it minute one when he got on the floor. He looked bouncy. He looked like he could move better. I think he's really excited about the weight that he's at, even if it is listed at what it was last year. But it's definitely a leaner, more explosive, more athletic version of Svi than I think we've seen.
No, I just think it's worth discussing just because we hear about it every offseason about guys gaining weight, guys losing weight. Last year it was Carlton Bragg who had reportedly put on 25 pounds, but by the time boot camp got over with and we saw him at media days, I'm kind of looking around saying, and you really put on 25 pounds? So I'm always interested to see what these guys are doing in the offseason. It's a different roster than we've really ever seen under Bill Self with all of the wings and athleticism they have from the backcourt. So I think it is going to be interesting to see what kind of changes guys make to their game. And Svi is certainly one of those guys we're interested in seeing what's going to be different for his final year.
Yeah, it's funny too because I'm the same way. I'm exactly like you. And there have been times, really, even a couple times recently where I've seen a guy that I hadn't seen for a little while, we're interviewing him or whatever, and I say, yeah, you look bigger, you know, or something like that. And no, I've actually lost a little weight. I'm like, oh, okay, good. That's great news. I'm glad I'm real locked in there. But you know, that's what I was talking about with the distribution of things. You know, sometimes a guy will look bigger because you know, maybe he focused on upper body or his chest or something like that, but he leaned up everywhere else, so his weight's actually down, but it's actually showing elsewhere. I mean, those things happen all the time. I mean, Andrea Hootie is an absolute scientist, and I mean that in the true sense of the word. She absolutely is a scientist, and you know, if she wants a guy to look like A, B, or C, she's going to be able to plug in the right formulas and make it happen, and that is, you know, everybody knows what a great job she does with those guys, building their bodies, keeping them strong, keeping them healthy. You know, those are important parts of her job, but her command of these athletes and her ability to just really just dial up such specific things for each guy and to understand, well, this is going to work well for this body type and for this guy and this other plan or program is going to work well for this guy because we want him to be a little bit bouncier and yada, yada, yada. I mean, she's a master at that. And so the health, the strength, the things like that that people think about and give her a lot of credit for on a regular basis, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg for all of the things that she actually brings to that program and all the reasons they're lucky to have her and the reasons they win so darn many games.
He's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. Appreciate the time, man.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Nick.
Sounds good. That's Matt Tate. I'm Nick Schwartz, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. More David Beatty audio to get to in the next hour and another very special edition of Let's Rank Stuff. 4 o'clock hour next, RCST. No go.